السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام، respected brothers and also our sisters at the madrasa, we were discussing one poetry of Hazrat Khwaja Aziz ul Hasan Majzub rahmatullah alayh, in which he very beautifully sums up the present day modern civilization and also what our condition is. He says, kaisa ye inqilab hai دیکھ کے دل کباب ہے، کیسا یہ انقلاب ہے دیکھ کے دل کباب ہے، کہتے ہیں اب ثواب ہے سود میں اور قمار میں. What a kind of revolution has come in the Muslim society. What a kind of change, what a kind of انقلاب has come. That looking at the condition of the Muslim ummah, the hearts have become kebabs, grilled over the fire. They say that now there is sawab even in sood and qimar, in interest taking, giving, and also in gambling. People are finding some kind of sawab. In other words, even in sinful things, people will find some kind of pleasure, some kind of enjoyment, or they will say that there is justification for our sins. Because of the environment that we live in, so they will find justification for their sins. We don't say that a Muslim will not commit any sin. A Muslim can commit a sin. He's a human being, he can make a mistake, he can err. But justification of sins is not the sign of a Muslim. A Muslim does not justify his sins. He acknowledges his weakness, he confesses before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and if it involves the rights of people, then he fulfills those rights. But he does not justify. That is the last thing that a Muslim should ever do. Once a person justifies his sin, then there is danger that he could lose his iman. Because justification of sin cannot go together with iman. With iman, a person can still commit some sin, for which he will make plenty of tawbah and istighfar, but he should not find justification. I have discussed this at length. We go a little further. Duniya gale ka haar hai, deen nazar mein khaar hai. Duniya gale ka haar hai, deen nazar mein khaar hai. Yahi agar bahar hai, aag lage bahar mein. Duniya gale ka haar hai. Duniya is the necklace around the neck. And as far as deen is concerned, it's like a thorn. We are finding it like a thorn. To practice on deen has become like a thorn in our body. He says, if this is the spring of your life, then may this spring catch on fire. Because this is not the spring of a Muslim's life. The Muslim does not enjoy sins. یہ مانا معصیت میں مجرمانہ تھوڑی لذت ہے، مگر اس پالنے والے سے یہ کیسی بغاوت ہے. یہ مانا معصیت میں مجرمانہ تھوڑی لذت ہے، مگر اس پالنے والے سے یہ کیسی بغاوت ہے. Says, I don't deny that there is a little bit of enjoyment and taste in sins, but what a kind of disloyalty, what a kind of rebellion is this against Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The person is rebelling against Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And who is Allah ta'ala? The one who is palne wale. The one who has blessed us with the health with which we are committing those sins. One ask any person who is lying on the stretcher, and he's about to be wheeled into the operation room or theater room for a triple bypass, that at this moment, what is your desire? If that person was a sharabi, he was a kababi, he was a zani, but go and ask him that at this moment, now what is your desire? I'm not saying that sickness and illness is all azab from Allah Ta'ala. I explained on Sunday also, as the Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayhi says, and I repeat for the benefit of those who are not here Fajr time, that as the Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayhi says, that the Anbiya Alayhim Salatu Wasalam, the Nabis of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, all kinds of difficulties, all kinds of trials, all kinds of tests, all kinds of hardships, sickness, illness, so many things came upon them. Enemies, opposition, some were burnt, some were killed, some were tortured, all kinds of difficulties came upon them. And also when it's the azab of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala on a community, the same thing happens. There's killing, there's murders, there's rape, there's arson, there's looting, there's people who are being tortured and persecuted and oppressed, all kinds of things happen when it's an azab of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So he says, how are now we going to differentiate that what is azab of Allah Ta'ala and what is a rahmat of Allah Ta'ala? So he divides it into three categories. He said that that illness, that sickness, that disease, that pain, that problem, that difficulty, that hardship, in which a person turns towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he turns towards Allah, it brings him towards Allah. The person was far away from the masjid, he was far away from du'as, he was far away from namaz, he was far away from charities and sadaqat, and he was far away from ibadat. But this sickness, this illness, this difficulty, this family problem, this financial problem, whatever the problem, it brought him to Allah's house. It brought him before Allah. It made him increase his tilawat, his zikr, his ibadat. It made him repent. It made him ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness of his sins. Then he says that this is kaffara e sayyat. This is kaffara e sayyat. That means Allah Ta'ala is forgiving his sins because it brought him back to Allah Ta'ala. So it's this is illness, this disease, this difficulty. It's a kaffara of the sayyat, of his weakness, of his shortcomings, of his faults, of his sins. This is a forgiveness. Allah Ta'ala is forgiving it in this way. That difficulty, that hardship, that torture, that problem in which the person does not turn towards Allah, in fact sometimes his sin increases, then that is a definite sign that it's an azab of Allah Ta'ala. The person is ill, he is sick, he is lying on the hospital bed. Any time the angel of death could take him away because he's in such pain and in such problem, and he's suffering from cancer, he's suffering from some other sickness and disease. But at that time, he wants to watch the soap and all the other movies on the television screens which are provided in the hospital rooms. He wants to watch the singing and the dancing women. He wants to listen to the music. So this is a definite sign that this sickness, this illness is an azab of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. It is not bringing him closer to Allah Ta'ala, in fact it's distancing him more. So it's an azab of Allah Ta'ala which will bring restlessness in his life, because it's not bringing him to the door of Allah. He is increasing in his sins. If he was a namazi, he forgot about his namaz too. Whereas Allah Ta'ala made things easy, that now if you can't make wuzu, make tayammum. If you cannot stand and read, sit and read. Lie down and read, but read the namaz. Now the person in the hospital room says, no, my kapra is napak. Whereas Allah Ta'ala has made it easy and simple. At that time, you must not be very particular about paki and napaki, because the person is a patient, he's a sick person. But at that time, he should still, to whatever extent he can make ihtiyat, but he must make his namaz. So if that person in his sickness, in his difficulties, in his financial problems, in his marital problems, whatever problem he's got, he's not coming to the door of Allah Ta'ala, he's not seeking forgiveness from Allah Ta'ala, he's not getting closeness of Allah Ta'ala, then that is a definite sign that this person is being punished by Allah. It's an azab of Allah Ta'ala. The Nabis of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the Walis of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the Ahlullah, the people of heart, the people who have got Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's muhabbat in their hearts, in their difficulties, in their problems, in their sickness, in their illness, they not only are patient, patient does not mean that they do not undertake treatment or they do not complain of the pain, but they do not become restless to such an extent that they begin complaining of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Or they say that Allah couldn't find nauzubillah anybody else, why did he find me only? Why did he have to take my child? Why did he have to cause this accident to my car? Why did he have to do this and have to do that? The person begins endless complaints of Allah ta'ala, nauzubillah. And in fact, many people write and they even say to some ladies also when they phone, then they say, well, my difficulties are so much, my problems are so much, I'd rather take my life. I don't know what cause sin I have committed. I don't know why Allah ta'ala has to punish me in this way. So much wazifas I read, so much zikr I made. As if to say Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is bound to make mashwara with that person. Allah ta'ala must decide according to his will. Allah ta'ala's decision is his own. And then the person who is bragging about his piety and the person who is bragging about the type of zikr that they made or made tilawat or made ibadat, then that itself shows that there was riya in that ibadat. Of what quality is our ibadat? I mentioned in that zikr majlis last Thursday that there must be quality and there must be quantity. Both must be right. The quality must be right too, the quantity must be right too. If the person is thirsty and you give him one spoon of water to drink, he's not going to quench his thirst. Or if you give him water but it is very hot, it's boiling water, or it's salty water, it's not going to quench his thirst. The quality of the water has to be right, the quantity has to be right. In the same way, our ibadat, our zikr, our tilawat, what is the quality of our ibadat? Where is our mind when we are making our salat? How many of us, we just come from the business, Allahu Akbar, dash into salat. Why? Because it's farz, we have to make it. Alhamdulillah, that too is some ni'mat that we should not give it up. But until the quality doesn't come right, in the zikr the quality doesn't come right, the tilawat the quality does not come right, then we cannot expect the fruits. So these anbiya, the nabis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when some difficulty comes on them, it's not that they are only patient, that means they accept that it is from my Allah. They will take treatment, they will do whatever is necessary, they'll adopt the rightful means. But at the same time, they get a kind of joy and a happiness that my Allah is pleased with me in this condition. It's a unique thing, experience, and it's a unique thing this, that to express a kind of a happiness that my Allah is happy with me in this condition. Now where can that person suffer depression? The person who finds a kind of a happiness within himself, that I am doing whatever I have to do, I am trying my level best to please my Allah, and Allah Ta'ala is putting me in this condition, so I am happy with whatever He is happy with. So that person who resigns his will to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's will, then he is not going to think of committing suicide, and he's not going to complain of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, as I discussed at length on the talk on Tafweez. So for the Nabis of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and the Walis of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, these difficulties and trials are not only a means of elevation of their status, it gives them great closeness to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and it gives them a kind of a joy and happiness. And for the benefit of those that were not here, again that example comes to mind, that the example is that in Delhi, those people who have had the opportunity of visiting one of the restaurants where chilies is part of the ingredient or the maximum amount of chilies they put into the curries, really hot. Now the person who's used to mild curry, if he has to eat that, then it's definitely going to cause diarrhea. But those people who are used to it, now that person is eating, very hot food he is eating. It's very tasty, that haleem there is very tasty, but it is like azab-e-aleem. But it is very tasty. Now that person is eating that, his nose is leaking, his eyes are watering, and he's making ha-ha to it, his tongue is burning. Now if you have to tell him that, leave that, I can see from your face that you are really suffering pain. So don't eat it. Give that haleem to me. He will say, no, so enjoyable, so tasty, so delicious. Say, but your eyes are watering, you're making ha-ha and hoo-hoo. He say, whatever I'm making, but I'm enjoying it. Now here on the one hand, there's a kind of a pain. There's a kind of a difficulty. There's a burning on his tongue. But at the same time, there is that enjoyment. So two things have combined, pain and enjoyment. So if this be, if in this world we have examples of this nature, then what about those people whose hearts are connected with Allah Ta'ala? Won't they enjoy pleasure in pain? That is why they take that difficulty on their heart when it comes to restraining from evil. They are able to undertake it because they believe that my Allah will become pleased with me no matter what is the condition of my heart. If I'm going to restrain my sight from haram, my ears from haram, my tongue from haram, my body from haram, then there will be that pain. But this gham, this pain that will come, it will give me such closeness of Allah Ta'ala that the person is prepared to undertake that. غموں کے پھولوں سے میرے دل کو برائے مسکن سجا لیا گرا کے بجلی میرا نشے من جلا کے اپنا بنا لیا گرا کے بجلی میرا نشے من جلا کے اپنا بنا لیا غموں کے پھولوں سے میرے دل کو برائے مسکن سجا لیا. Allah Ta'ala gave me the flowers of pain in my heart. The pain of restraining from haram. But he calls it flowers of pain. He said, Allah Ta'ala decorated my heart with these flowers of pain. Why? Why did he decorate it with the flowers of pain? Pain of what? Pain of restraining from haram. Then he says, Allah Ta'ala did that so that he may come into that heart. First he caused the lightning to destroy my nest. First the lightning struck and destroyed my nest, where the person was finding himself very comfortable in sins. Allah Ta'ala destroyed that. Now he took the pain on his heart. So he says it's like the pain of flowers, but Allah Ta'ala decorated it with that so that he may come into that heart. On Sunday morning after Fajr, when we went for a small walk to one of the parks, so it's jacaranda time now. The whole ground, the flowers had covered the whole ground. They had fallen from the tree and the whole ground was covered. With what? With flowers. Beautiful flowers. It was like a carpet that had been laid out on the ground. But what it was? Flowers which had fallen from the tree. And what were we doing? We were walking over those flowers, trampling them, destroying them, crushing them. Their hearts were crushed by our feet. So my friends were with, I told them, I said, take a lesson from what we are seeing here. At present we all are complaining what is happening in Chechnya, what's happening in Bosnia, what's happening in Palestine, what's happening here, what's happening there. There is no doubt that it is our hearts are with them. And we should never ever consider ourselves to be better than them. The jihad that they are making, we must sympathize, we must make dua for them. Whatever kind of protest and whatever we have to make, we have to make. But we have to also take a lesson. I said, look at these flowers. At one time they were connected with the tree. They were connected with the root of the tree. Because although they are on the branches, but those branches cannot be there if there's no root. So those flowers, the leaves, the branches are all dependent on the root. So when the root was strong and deep in the ground, and the flowers were connected with that tree, then everybody was admiring them, and everybody was looking at their beauty. And if they were fragrant flowers, then the fragrance of that everybody enjoyed, and nobody caused them any harm. But when they cut off from that tree and they fell on the ground, then people began trampling, people began crushing, people began destroying. When the Muslim Ummah was connected with the root of Iman, when it was connected with the root of Iman, then wherever they were going, they were conquering. They were conquering. Mighty empires, Persian Empire, Roman Empire, fell at their feet. and the fragrance of their ibadat, of their iman, of their taqwa, of their tawakkul, of their trust and faith in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, of their zuhud, of their sabr, of their shukr, it was permeating the noses of the people wherever they went. People were entering into the fold of Islam because of that fragrance. Until the last sahabi left this world, until the very last sahabi left this world, there was still that continuous progress. After that, slowly the decline began. Then a time came which we are seeing today. Kaisa ye inqilab hai, dekh ke dil kabab hai, kehte hai ab sawab hai, sood mein aur qimar mein. In Palestine, a few doors away, just a few meters away from Masjid al-Aqsa, just a few meters away, a Muslim store, the person was selling so much of liquor, and in a very polite manner, because he was speaking about Islam and about the Yahudis, what they are doing and all kinds of things he was telling me. So after listening to him and after sympathizing, then I said, but bhai, my dear brother, you are just a few meters away from Masjid al-Aqsa. And how can you be selling liquor? You know it is haram. So what was his reply? He says that, Sheikh, I don't use the profit of the sales of the liquor. I don't use the profits. But I stock liquor because we get a lot of tourists and I cater for their needs. Kaisa ye inqilab hai, dekh ke dil kabab hai, kehte hai ab sawab hai, sood mein aur qimar mein. He's assisting the tourists, catering for their needs, providing them hospitality. So this is our problem. So until those flowers were connected, they were respected, they were honored, they were appreciated. But when they fell on the ground, then they were trampled and they were crushed. And after a little while, that person will come, he will sweep all the flowers that are on the ground and he will put them into bin bags and he will go and throw it away in the rubbish heap and he will turn to fertilizer. That is our condition. So it will be a lesson for us also. We must not look far away at their condition. That if we want respect, if we want honor, if we want dignity, then we have to connect ourselves with the root. The mashayikh, it's not that they're calling people to make their ibadat or anything. What they are doing is asking us to connect ourselves with Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But that is normally the root. That the person who has got Allah Ta'ala in his heart, then you connect with him, then slowly he takes you there. It's not that their ibadat you make. But this is the condition, that no matter how high a person goes, but if he is going to leave that tree, then this will be the condition. The lesson for us also, especially people who are in deen work and activities, people like us who are sitting on the mimbars and giving bayans, and people who are making gush and talim, and people who are giving dawat and making tabligh, and people who are writing books and kitabs, and people who are in khanqas, and people who are doing welfare work and other kind of dini services. For all of us, there is a great lesson in it, that never ever let pride come into our heart. No matter how high the person goes, but if he falls from there, that will be the end of it. You can be a flower at one time, giving fragrance to the world, but the moment you cut yourself from Quran and Sunnah, then you will become fertilizer. You will become kachra, thrown in the rubbish dump. Go and look all around. At present you'll find flowers on the ground and see what is happening. The cars are driving over it. The trucks are driving over them. The people are walking over them. Pigs and donkeys and monkeys too, they will be trampling over them. And there will be no appreciation shown that this is a flower. Why? Because that flower has left its position. For that flower to remain a flower, it has to be there in its correct position. Otherwise that flower also will turn to dust. kaisa ye inqilab hai dekh ke dil kabab hai kehte hain ab sawab hai sood mein aur qimar mein. It's again the same thing, but Allah Ta'ala is bringing it again in a different light. We must take lesson from this, that after that Allah Ta'ala does not care what happens to that ummah. If that ummah leaves its position, then Allah Ta'ala does not care if they come and destroy your masjid, if they come and destroy your places of ibadat. It happened in the past with, and it can happen in the future, and it happened not long ago with Babri Masjid and so many other places in the world. In Russia at one time, where there were so many madrasas, there were so many masjids, there was so much of khanqas and everything. But when the people left that position, when those flowers stopped giving that fragrance, or they cut off from the root and from the tree, then so many were turned into stables, and so many were turned into rubbish dumps, and so many were turned into places of gambling and all kinds of haram activities. I saw with my own eyes two masjids in Delhi, not very far away from the Jami Masjid. That masjid is in that area where there are predominantly people of other faith living there. And that masjid had also fallen into the hands of those people. And in that masjid, people were drinking, people were gambling, people were playing cards. It was just by chance that I happened to be in that area, and I was told that this is a masjid. So Allah Ta'ala, He looks at our character, He looks at our actions, He looks at our amal, He looks at our akhlaq, our ibadat, our muamalat. All this is part of Sharia. The incident that incidents that we hear of these days, they must all give us lessons. We must sympathize with wherever there are floods, wherever there are earthquakes, wherever there are gale force winds destroying people, wherever the kuffar and the mushrikeen, the Yahud and the Nasara are suppressing and oppressing and destroying our flowers, then we have to be concerned and we have to do whatever is in our means. But just to say a few words is not going to suffice. We must take a lesson. What is our condition? Have we not also left that tree? Have we not also stopped blooming? Have we not also cut off from that tree? Hasn't our fragrance also stopped? If it has, then it is time to rectify. And there's no time now. That is the question. The main issue is that there is no time. At one time they used to say there's plenty of time. But now we say there's no time. With everything being press button, everything being press button, but still there's no time. Everybody is in a hurry. Everybody has got everything moving very fast, but still they say there's no time. So there is no time also for the preparation of the hereafter. In these days especially, there's not much time. We don't know how long we're going to live and what's going to be our condition. So make sincere tawbah, turn towards Allah and seek forgiveness from Him and give your hearts to Him and see what Allah Ta'ala gives in those hearts. I'm repeatedly saying this because I don't have it too. I'm also in search of it. But I can swear and take a qasam in this masjid that Allah Ta'ala will give such happiness in that heart, sure, such sukoon in that heart, such peace and such tranquility that people will be talking about what's happening all over the world and in this country and all the crime and everything. There will be that natural, normal restlessness that a person experiences. But deep down, the tranquility of that heart will not be shaken. The person will, his tranquility will not be shaken. Allah Ta'ala gives such peace and contentment. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala bless me, bless you and the entire ummah with it. Even a little lesson if we take, it's a big lesson. And especially these flowers when I saw on the ground, believe me, for a little while I was stunned. And yet it's not something unusual. But for a little while I was gone into a different world. That Ya Allah, what is our condition? Keep us like the flowers that are still blooming and that have got the fragrance from which people are benefiting. Give us that dignity, that honor, that respect that you gave to the Sahaba-e-Kiram and to your awliya. And do not let us be like those flowers that have cut off and they are being now trampled. Hazrat Khwaja Azizul Hasan Majzoob Rahmatullah Alayhi says that this nafs, never ever trust it. Even if it becomes an angel, don't trust it. Agar ye farishta bhi ho jaye, to isse badguma rehna. You don't know when the person can make a slip. That little breeze that blew and those beautiful flowers could not face that breeze. That breeze that blew, it blew off all those flowers and put them on the ground. That little breeze of temptation has made people sell their iman for a woman. A person asks his wife after shaving his beard and getting rid of his kurta and topi, that how do I look now? So the person wanted to know, what reply must we give to such a person? I said, tell, even if the whole world tells you that you are looking handsome now, without that beard and you are looking handsome, if the whole world tells you that, but what is the sense of that when Allah and His Rasul say you are looking like my enemies? So let those ladies and those girls tell you are looking handsome. But when Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam are saying that you are looking like my enemies, then who are we going to face on the day of Qiyamah? These people who are saying that you are looking handsome. So even if the whole world says that I'm looking ugly, but if my Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says I'm looking handsome, then I will please my Allah and I will please my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Agar daadi ke rakh lene se chehra badnuma hota, to phir daadi mere sarkar ki sunnat nahi hoti. If a person was going to look ugly with his beard, then the beard would not have been a sunnat of my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So why are we concerned about that? That bride who was being dressed up for the occasion, and everybody was experiencing great amount of joy and happiness, and her friends were congratulating her. Then what did she say? She said, this is not the occasion for me to start smiling, and because she was still looking sad. She says, but this is no occasion of being sad. He says, my happiness will come when my husband will say that you are looking good. When my husband will say that you are looking pretty. When my husband will say, I love you, then that will be the time for my happiness. If you all say that that I'm looking pretty, it's going to be of no consequence. So when our Allah will say on the day of Qiyamah that I have become pleased with you, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will say that I'm pleased with you, that you took the opposition, no matter what the opposition was, you took it. You allowed the pain to come on your heart, but you didn't want Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be displeased. So today, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will say, I am happy with you. Allah will say, I am happy with you. That will be the day for enjoyment. These people are not going to come to our assistance and help there. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you and all of us the tawfiq to understand that it is only in connecting ourselves with deen, with Quran, with sunnah and with Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam that there is peace, happiness, contentment, satisfaction. Otherwise, all this evil that we have brought in our homes and in our lives, they are going to definitely bring disaster, they are going to definitely bring distress, they are going to definitely bring all kinds of restlessness, anxiety and worries. Marriages are breaking, people are separating, and there's so much of quarrels and arguments and fitnas that we don't know what we are really heading for. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اے میرے پیارے مولا اے میرے رحیم کریم مولا اے میرے ستار غفار آقا ہم سب کی مغفرت فرما ہم سب کی مغفرت فرما ہمارے صغیرہ کبیرہ عمدن خطعن ظاہری باطنی ہر گناہ کو معاف فرما اے اللہ مسلمانوں کو پھر وہ عزت نصیب فرما کہ جو صحابہ کرام کو عطا فرمائی تھی او اللہ گیو دا مسلم دیٹ آنر دیٹ ڈگنیٹی دیٹ ریسپیکٹ دیٹ یو ہیڈ بلیسڈ دا صحابہ کرام اینڈ یو ہیڈ بلیسڈ دا اولیاء کرام اینڈ یو ہیڈ بلیسڈ دا تابعین اینڈ تبع تابعین وِد او مائی بلوڈ اللہ فار گیو ایچ اینڈ ایوری ون آف اس او مائنر سنز میجر سنز سنز دیٹ وی کمیٹڈ نوئنگلی اور ان نوئنگلی سنز دیٹ وی کمیٹڈ ان دا لائٹ آف ڈے اور ڈارکنیس آف نائٹس O Allah, the sins of our zahir, the sins of our batin, forgive each and every one of us. Forgive our parents, our wives and children, our brothers and sisters, and the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ey Allah, Palestine ke musalmanon ki madad farma. Ey Allah, تو ان کی مدد فرما. اے اللہ ان پر جو ظلم ڈال رہے ہیں تو ان کو ہدایت نصیب فرما. اور اے اللہ اگر انہوں نے طے کر لیا ہے کہ ہم مسلمانوں کو ستائیں گے تو تم ان کو عاد اور ثمود کی طریقے سے ہلاک فرما. اے اللہ مجاہدین جہاں کہیں محنت کر رہے تو ان کی نصرت فرما, مدد فرما. یا اللہ تمام عالم کے اندر مسلمانوں کو تو ہدایت تامہ کامل عطا فرما. او اللہ کوز دا ونڈز آف ہدایت ٹو بلو تھرو آؤٹ دا کانٹیننٹس. دوز آر سک اینڈ ایلنگ گیو دیم کیور. دوز آر ان فائنینشیل ڈیفیکلٹیز اینڈ پرابلمز, remove their financial difficulties and problems. Those who have got any other kind of distress, any other kind of pain, any other kind of sickness, any other kind of problem, oh Allah, you are well aware, remove each and every one's problems and difficulties. Those who have got no children, bless them with pious children. Those who have got children, make them pious, righteous and obedient to the parents and obedient to you. Ya Allah, all the goodness that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam begged of you, bless us with that goodness. Bless the entire ummah with that goodness. And from all the fitnas and mischief and corruption that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked for protection, oh my beloved Allah, protect us, protect our parents, our wives and children, and the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Our brothers and sisters who have passed away, bless them with Jannatul Firdaus. Our parents who may have passed away, bless them with Jannatul Firdaus. Ya Allah, and when the time of our death comes, let there be kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah on our lips. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.